Begin the current daf and set this erech and daf chaf. Begin 14 lines down at the top of the amud. But the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, our previous Mishnah said, a chaymer b'nedar meba'arachan. They spoke about a stringency that applied by the laws of a monetary vow over that of a erechim vow, where if, let's say, someone says specifically regarding his hand or his foot, where that wouldn't give anything for erechim, but by nedarim you would have to give the differential between the person that has a hand and is missing a hand. And that Mishnah continues, and the opposite, chema ba'arachim im nedarim, a stringency that applies by erechim vow over that of a monetary vow. Okay, it's that, how so? Says the Mishnah, ha'ima erechi alai v'meis. Someone says, I'm taking upon myself to give my erechim vow, and then he dies, but since it was a set amount, it's automatic, gender and age we know, so therefore, says the Mishnah, yitna yershim. The obligation happened the moment he took that erechim vow. We already knew what it was. The obligation took effect. And even if he dies the next moment right after, the inheritors have to give that debt that he owes to Hekdesh. However, demei alai v'meis, and we referred to this on the top of the summit from the previous daf, if he says that the monetary vow of my monetary values are coming upon me and v'meis and he dies, says the Mishnah, lo yitna yershim. Here the inheritors don't give. Shein dam la meisim, because there's no value to a dead person. In other words, now we're coming to evaluate him because we want to know what's his monetary value, and he's already dead. Now, although we learned in the Braisa and Baba Kama Chavzayin Meraf that says, V'nostan pidyon nafshei, when there's someone that gets killed, so the obligation of the owner of that ox has to give the value of that person who died, what do you mean? I thought there's no value of a person when he's dead. The difference is that over there, the reason is because the moment the damage, the actual accident happens, there's a responsibility to give that moment the amount of damage is at the moment of the damage. Now, since at that moment he was alive, so therefore the obligation starts right then. But when someone says, demei alai, the monetary value is on me, the vow is only what courts will evaluate him that he has to give. Now, the problem is that never ended up happening because ultimately he died and he never got to court. So the obligation never started because it only starts when the court evaluates, and therefore the inheritors don't have to give because there is no obligation there for the inheritors to give. Continues the Mishnah, which this is the leniency of the erechim of the previous Mishnah. Erech yodai ve'erech ragli alive. Someone says, I want to give the erechim value of my hand or of my foot that's on me. So lo yamaklum, he hasn't said anything, because the halachas of erechim only applies as in the next case. Erech reishi ve'erech kavedi alive. He says, I want to give the erechim value of my head or of my liver. Then noisin erech kula. Then he has to give the erechim value of his whole self, because the erechim is only on the person. But the pasuk says, be'erkecha nefashes. The erechim is on the soul of the person, as the Mishnah qualifies. Zekal, this is the rule. Kol davash haneshama tluya, by any limb that the soul of the person depends on, I mean, you can't survive without that limb. So neisin erech kula. Then you give the whole erech of the person, because that's the nefesh. But something like the hand and the feet, that's not the whole nefesh, and therefore you don't give anything, because the erechim is only in the entirety of the person. Continues the Mishnah. Let's see, says, chetzi arki olai. Half of my erechim is upon me, so nisin chatzi arka, so he gives half of his erechim. So let's say he's a male between the ages of 20 and 60, which the erechim is 50 slam, so that erech, he's saying, I want to give half, so he gives half of that. But let's say he says, erech chatzi alai, although it sounds the same thing, but it's actually very different. The erechim of my half is on me. That's similar to saying the erechin of my head or of my liver is on me, because you can't have half of a person without the other half that the soul of the person wouldn't depend on. You can't be half of a person. So nesin erech kule. Then he gives his whole erechin value, because that's davar shenasha matzliyboy. Continues the Mishnah. Similarly regarding not erechin but damim. Chatzi demei alai. So it's like saying that my monetary value that I'm worth, half of that I'm taking. So nesin chatzi damim. So he gives half of his monetary market value. Let's say demei chetzi alai. Let's say the monetary value of half of myself I'm taking upon myself. So here also, like we said, by erechin noisin demei kulai, he has to give the whole monetary value of himself, because the Braisa taught in the Perkei Hasagiyah Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph that we compare damim to erechin for the halacha of to be danit lebechvaydi, which means to say something that neshama tliya by, which by erechin we say that you give the whole value. The same thing is regarding damim, regarding monetary. So although by hand and feet we said that you give just the hand and feet, but something that the soul would depend on, similarly by monetary value, you give also the whole value of the person. As the Mishnah says it, Zakal, this is the rule. Davash haneshama tluya by, also regarding damim, something that the soul depends on, noisin demei kulai, give the entire monetary value of that person. Continues the Mishnah. Ha'ima erkoi shal pleini alai. which is similar to the previous cases that the Mishnah spoke about, and the Gemara is going to discuss what's this adding on, which regarding if someone, we previously said that when he takes his own erichim value and he dies, here it's saying, he says, the erichim value of that person is upon me. So, says the Mishnah, Mesa Noidir, the one who took the vow, the one who took the erich of that person, if he dies, or Vahanidir, or the subject of the vow, he dies, so Yitna Yershin, still the inheritance have to give, because like we said, the moment he takes the erich of vow, it takes effect right away. So if anyone dies, it doesn't make a difference, you already know how much, the obligation already took effect, and even if they're dead, the inheritors have to give. But Damav shall play in your life, he says, the monetary value of that person is upon me, Umesa Noidir, if the one who took the vow dies, so Yitna Yershin, the inheritors will still have to give, because the whole logic of the differential between Dam and Erchin is only regarding the next case. Meis Hanidr, if the subject of the vow, if he dies, Lo Yitna Hayershin, then the inheritors don't give, She'in Dam LaMeisim. Because like we said, it only is when the court evaluates the value of that person that then the obligation takes effect. So in the previous case we spoke, when he takes his own Damim, so he is both the vow and the subject of the vow. So if he dies, we said you're not going to have, then Yershim don't have to give anything. But in this case is where you find that difference, where if he dies, the one who took the vow, it doesn't make a difference, because as long as the subject of the vow is around, that will create the obligation, and therefore then the inheritors have to give it. Talmud Bar Linda Bryce elaborating on this halacha of our Mishnah regarding the contrast of the stringencies of Nadarm versus Erichin, says the Bryce, Chayma ben Nadarm ba'arachin, from the stringencies of a monetary vow over an erichin vow, is shanadarm cholin al behema chayv oif, a neder, a monetary vow, could take effect on a domesticated animal, a wild animal, on the bird. So if he says, demei behemasi alai, if the value of my animal is on me, he has to give that to Hekdash. But by erichin, that only takes effect regarding a human being. Moreover, ve'ein nedayin in behesig yad, regarding the darm, there's no halacha of being evaluated by the sliding scale of how much could you afford. Or if he says my monetary value is on me and he can't afford it, whatever he could give, as he could give, he'll have to give. He doesn't get this dispensation of Hesegad. Whereas by Arachin, you have the leniencies that it's only by a human being, and also he has the leniency of Hesegad. Now, continues the Braisa, Chem Ba'arachim ben Nadarm. There are certain stringencies that apply by Arachin, not by Nadarm. Kate said, how so? So, Omer Erichi alive and mace, like we said in the Mishnah. If he says, my Erichim bow is on me and he dies, so yet in the Yarshim. The obligation is effective right away. We know how much it is. There's nothing that we're waiting for. The obligation is if he dies, the inheritors have to give it. But Demei alive and mace, if he says, my monetary value is on me and he dies, lo yet in the Yarshim, then the inheritors don't give Shein Dam LaMeisim, because no monetary value for a dead person. The obligation only starts, which was his whole intention, which what the court's going to tell me, what's the value, is already dead. The dead person has no value. Therefore, there's no obligation for the Yarshim to give anything. Now, the Gemara asks, so we said, Amma Erki Lai V'meis. If he says, I'm taking my Erichin value on me and he dies, so he said that by Erichin, they're Yitin Yershin, the inheritors have to give. Says the Gemara, Shema, no, one thing we could infer from this halacha of the Brice in our Mishnah is that Milva Alpa, an oral loan, gave him in the Yershin. You could collect from inheritors, because here, it wasn't documented anywhere, and still the inheritors have to pay it, so that's like an oral loan. Now, the reason why we're saying this, because this is a machlekes many times a shas, and we're saying seemingly from our mission and our brisa, we could infer that the Tana holds that you could collect an oral loan from the inheritors. So the Gemara, no, Shani Hocha, here's not just a classic milva peh. It's different over here, the milva ksuv batari. It's a loan that's documented in the Torah, because the Torah says this obligation of Erichin, and therefore it takes effect right away, and therefore when he's dead, it already took effect, so of course he's obligated. But it's not, and therefore the Yershin have to give it. It's not a regular oral loan. So Gemara says, okay, fine, but Shema Minna, well, then you could refer from our Mishnah, that Milva Ksub Batar Ksub Bashtar Damye, that then a loan that's documented in the Torah is like a loan that's documented in the actual document, and therefore you could collect it from the Yershin, which that itself is a Machlek Yismach, and from our Mishnah you should be able to prove that it's Ksub Bashtar Damye. So Gemara, no, even that you can't prove. What are we talking about in the Halach of our Mishnah is Kisha Amad Bedin, where they already had a court case. And they already made him, said, okay, you're going to be obligated, and that they obligated before he died. That's of course, like a court proceedings which are being documented, is like a regular loan documented in the shtar, and that's why the Yershim have to give it. But that wouldn't tell us because it's a milva ksub b'tayra, and for sure not because it's a milva peh. Something must, wait a second. That's how you explain the case of Erichin, and therefore the Yershim have to give it. So then the kavas agabi demei alive, and the equivalent has to be in the case that we're contrasting in the Mishnah, when he takes his monetary value on himself. That you would say, Sha'amad Badin. We already had a court case that was saying that he has to give his monetary value. So then the Mailoit Nayershin. So then why don't the inheritors have to give it? He was already evaluated by the courts. And then the obligation already was there also before he's dead. So I think we know. There's still a difference. Demei Alai, when he takes his monetary value on himself, Mechusa Umdina, they're still lacking in the valuation. Meaning, yes, the court said you're obligated to pay, but they didn't get a chance yet to, okay, actually evaluate him and see how much is he worth before he already had died. Whereas Erki Alai, when he takes his Erkin value on himself, there's nothing missing. Once the court says you have to pay, already know, open up a chumash. Everyone knows how much you have to give based on your age and your gender. And therefore there, the obligation took effect before, but by Demei Alai, it didn't totally take effect before, and therefore the Yershin don't have to give it. Now the Mishnah said, in contrast to the stringency of the Nedarim, but by Erichin, if he says Erich Yodai or Raglai Olai, Bechulu, he says, I'm taking the Erichin vow of my hand or of my feet, then he hasn't said anything because it's on, only on the entirety of the person. Now, but Amrav Gidl Marab says, V'nisin Demel, but he has to give the monetary value of his hand or his foot to Hektish. Says the Gemara, but V'lo Amal Klum Ketani, what do you mean? The Mishnah says, he hasn't said anything. How could you say he has to give the monetary value of at least the hand and the feet? Says the Gemara, Lo Amal Klum L'Rabbanan. The Mishnah means he hasn't said anything in regards to the opinion of the Rabbanan, who they say in the first paragraph of Hayyamid Aleph, that yeah, a person will say something in vain that has no function at all, and yeah, there's no erchen on a hand or a foot, so yeah, he's going to be totally exempt. But v'naisin demel remeyer, what Rav Gidl and Rav were saying, but according to remeyer, you do have to give the monetary value of the hand and the foot that he took the erchen on. Now, that is the Gemara, but the amracha de zimna, but if that's the case, then Rav Gidl Marav already said this once before. Because Amrav Gidl Marav, he says, if someone says, the erich and value of this vessel, I'm taking upon myself to give that to Hekdash. Halach is nice and dumb. He has to give that monetary value. There's no erich on the vessel. It's the monetary value he has to give to Hekdash. Now, the Gemara in the first paragraph already explained this, Halach of Gidl Marav, because he's going like Remeir. Remeir says, no, a person doesn't say his words in vain. Although he says erichin, we know there's no erichin, therefore he must have meant damim, so we already know this halacha, so what's the chiddush in saying it again by this halacha by Mishnah of erich yod, the erich ragli, we know there's no erichin on the hand and the foot, so he's saying it means the money, so that's the halacha he already said once before, according to Remeir, that's going to have to give the monetary value. Says Gemara, no. Ma'od etema, what would you say? Hasam hu da adam yudea shein erich l'kli, regarding to the halacha we already once documented of Gidl Marav, you would say, no, there a person knows there's no erichin for a vessel, open up a chumash, we know erichin is told about only by people. So he conclusively had the intention that, I know I said the word erichin, but we know there's no erichin in a vessel, he means the monetary value. Aval hacha, but in regards to our case of our Mishnah, mita katoi, you could say that, no, maybe he made a mistake. It's not like he was, no one, of course no one says something for nothing. But here, maybe he just made a mistake. The Savar, he thought, he thought, just like there is halacha of an erichin of when he takes it of his head over his liver, he didn't differentiate, he doesn't know that it's davash on the shamat tuluy, but he thinks, I know there's erichin when the guy took on his head or his liver, so he thought also there's erichin on his hand or his feet. But he didn't say to give the monetary value, and therefore maybe he should not even have to give the monetary value even the coin to a mayor. That's why we need Rav Gidl Marav also here in this context to say, no, even over here, he knows no erichin on the hand and the feet, and therefore his intention was to give the monetary value, and he has to give the damim of the yad or the regal. Now the Mishnah said, this halacha that we just referenced, erich reishi ve'erich kveidi, if he takes the erichin vow of his head or of his liver, then he has to give the erichin of his whole self. My time, it says, what's the reason? Because nefashis kam rachmanah. Torah says, be'erkecha nefashis, the erichin is regarding to the soul of the person, whatever is something, davash ha'neshamet tzluyi by, as the Mishnah then continues now, as we're going to quote, then there's obligation on the whole self of the erichin. As the Mishnah says, zakol, this is the rule, davash ha'neshamet tzluyi by v'chulu, something that the soul depends on, then that's, you have to give the whole erichin value of the person. So the Gemara wonders, that's inherent in the case that we just described of Erich Reish and Erich Kvedi in contrast to Erich Yod Viragle. What's the need of putting that into a klal? So it's Gemara Lasuyim in our Kavva Lamaila. It's coming to add on the case of if it's regarding a limb that's above the knee, which that establishes the person that he needs that, it's a person becomes a trefa, he can't survive. That we're saying that that is also included in this category, that if he even, not even the liver or the head, even just on the foot above the knee, that that would also be considered davash neshamet luyiboy, and if he took the erichin of that, he would have to give erich kula. Now the Mishnah continued and said, chatzi arki alai. If he says, half of my erich, I want to take upon myself. So Naisan Lechul, then he has to give half of his erich. Because there's an erich, and he's taking upon himself to give half of that. Now, Tanakhama, the Braisa, that's actually Machlaikis. Tanakhama says, Chatzi Arkeelai, the case we just described, if he takes half of his Erichin upon himself, so nice, Chatzi Arke. So if he's a 20-year-old male, which is 50 slum, he gives 25 slum. Rabbi Yisrael Yehudaim, he says, Loike, but nice and Erich Shalom. He gets lashes, and he has to give his whole Erich. So the Gemara wonders first, Loike, he gets lashes? Am I? Why would he get a lash? What type of Isser did he do? So my puppy says, no, what it means is, like, we punish him, be'erich shalom, with having to give, not like in Tanakama, that you give only half the erich, that he has to give his entire erich. Now, my time, what's the reason? It's a gezerah, it's a decree of chatzi erich, of this case, of half of his erich, or to erich chatzi, on the similar sounding case of the evaluation of his half. Because, for erich chatzi, have a davash on a shomet loyiboy. When he takes the erich of half of himself, well, half of the self includes at least part of the person that the person's soul will depend on. Then we said he has to give his whole self. So as not to confuse the two cases, even when he says, Chatzi Erkei, he has to give, just like in the case of Erkei Chatzi, which just like over there, you have to give the whole thing. Here also, even though technically really you only have to give half, as a Gezeira, we said that, according to the opinion of Yisrael Yehuda, you have to give the whole thing. Now the Mishnah said similarly regarding the case of Chatzi Demeolai. He says, half of my monetary value is upon me. So then he has to give half of his monetary value. The mechetzi alai, if he says, the monetary value of half of myself, then he has to give the entire monetary value of himself. As the Gemara explains, my time, what's the reason? Why don't we say by monetary value, it's literally whatever the halves are give, the how much is the half of the person worth? It's because ned be'ekecha nefashik siv. Says in the Pasuk, a vow of Ye'erichin of the souls, which is, as we had explained in the previous parak, that the Pasuk compares Nedarm to Erichin, just like Erichin, when it's Davash HaNashem Etzului, but you have to give the whole thing, so to by Nedarm, by the monetary, you also have to give the entire value of the person, if it's something that Davash HaNashem Etzului, whereas the Mishnah says the same thing as it was said by Erichin, Zakal, this is the rule, Davash HaNashem Etzului, that's something that the soul depends on. If you took the nether of that, you have to give the whole monetary value. Says Yigmar, why do you have to put in the klal? Here too, it's lasuim la kurva lamal, it's coming to include above the knee, that if you took a nether of a part of the person that's higher up than the knee, you have to give the person's entire monetary value to Hekdash. The Talmud in the Braisa, regarding these opinions of the Machlekes Rabbeinu and Rabban that we referenced before, hamarich chatzi erich kliv. Someone takes the erichin of half of the erich of a vessel. So Meir Ami says, nice and dumb. So you give the monetary value of half of a vessel, because there is no erichin on a kli. Like Meir says, you don't say things in vain. You mean the monetary value. But Chachamim, the sages say, no, loyma klom. He hasn't said anything. Erichin, there's no erichin on a half of a vessel, and therefore, you don't have to give anything. Now, in regard to this brisa, the Gemara says that the following incident, and the Gemara says, Rabba Chalosh, Rabba was ill. Ulega be Abai Rabban. So Abai and the Rabban came to visit him. The Yasvi of Kami, they were sitting and they said, that regards to this brisa, Bishlam Remeir, we understand Remeir, as we referenced him before, Ksava he holds, Ein Ode Meisa Devar V'Levatala. A person doesn't say his words in vain. And obviously he says something that has meaning, but there's no Erichin for a vessel. So, Leishna Kulei, but Leishna Chetz. It doesn't make a difference when he takes on the tire of a vessel or half of a vessel. What he's explaining in this case is that, yeah, even when you took an Erichin of a half of a vessel, that's, even though it's not normative to take a vow of the monetary value of half a vessel, even so, you have to give. And for sure, if you took a nether on the entirety of a vessel, so even though you used the word erichin, but you didn't mean erichin because there is no erichin. You're not saying things in vain. You meant the monetary value. So even though it's half, it doesn't make a difference. Half whole, you have to give then half of the monetary value. But El Rabbanu, Mike Savi, but according to Rabbanu, what do they hold? And that is, E of the Maitse Devar V'Levatala, if they hold that a person would say something in vain. So therefore, so when they were saying erichin, so you're right, it has no significance what they're saying because there's no erichin on the vessel. Well, then afilu kulinami. Why are they disagreeing only in the case of when someone takes an erichin of half of a vessel, then he hasn't said anything? What do you mean? Even then, if he says the erichin of this vessel is on me, even in that case, no, there's no erichin. So even there, that the person should be exempt. Why are you saying only in a half of a vessel? And if they hold like Remeir that a person doesn't say his words in vain, then even in the half vessel they should agree to Remeir that a person would be obligated in giving the monetary value of half of that vessel. So Amalahu, and the Gears again here is Rabba taking out Vabaya. So Rabba said to them as follows, says Rabban the Hachad, Rabban here in this price, Kremeir severely, they hold like Remeir, But Vesavala Kripshim, but they also hold a Kripshim, as the Gemara explains. Savala Krim Meir, the holy Krim Meir, the Omar, that he says, you're right. Ain't no the Maitre Dvar Vatal. Person doesn't say his words in vain. So you're right. If let's say he said the Erich of this Kli is on myself, so there's no Erichin, obviously he would have meant the monetary value. So that's why they don't disagree in the case of an entire vessel. There they would agree that you would give the monetary value of that vessel. But Vesavala Krim Shimon, the holy Krim Shimon, the Omar that he says, that he didn't donate in the way that people usually donate. And that is, we find Mesachus Menachas of Kav Gimel Medalav, Rabbi Shimon says that if someone says, I'm taking upon myself to bring a flour offering from barley, that he's exempt. Because people don't bring flour offerings from barley, it's brought from wheat. So if it's not the way it's normally donated, he says, you haven't said anything. So therefore, kulei urchi lisnaduve, entire vessel, that's normative for a person to donate its value to Hekdash. Half is not normative to go ahead and donate. And that's why it's loy maklum. Because it's not kederch hamisnadvim. You're right. They only disagree in the case of half, because by whole they would agree to a mayor. Ain't no the devar al, even though he said erich. But by half, that you haven't said anything because that's not normal. And if it's not normal, then it's not kederch hamisnadvim. And then it doesn't have any effect whatsoever of a neder and a dava. And that's why they say in that case they're loy maklum. Now the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our Mishnah, which seemingly is the same thing as the reish of the Mishnah. It just switches from talking about the person taking the either the erichin or the nedarim of himself, but rather ha'ima erkish shel plainyulai says, I'm going to give the erichin value of that person on me, and similar to the case mentioned in the beginning of the Mishnah, umeis hanayde b'chulu, and the one who took the vow dies, or the one who's a subject, but erichin, it doesn't make a difference, the inheritors have to give, and however, as we're going to see, by Nidarm, there is a difference. But the Gemara first asks in this case, so wait a second, the Mishnah that says that the Yershin have to give, mind you, what's the case talking about? How are you going to qualify this case? Obviously, it's Tolmat, Shamat Bedin, that he obviously was brought to court before he died, as we explained the Reisha, because the Rel stat should prove that Milva Peh gave him the Yershin, or Milva Ksubatar gave him the Yershin. So the Gemara said, no, not necessarily. He had a court case already. So then if that's the case that we're talking about over here, so then why are we repeating it? Hayinu hach. It's the same as we said regarding when he takes it on himself and he dies, or when he takes the erichin of someone else and he dies. Either way, it's the same halacha. Says the Gemara, you're right. Regarding erichin, there's no different, but sefer is the chalei. The end of this halacha, of this case of plainly, is necessary for the contrast of the case of nedar. Damav shal plainly olav umeisa neider, if he took the monetary value of someone else, and the one who took the vow passed away, there, the Mishnah said, the Yidna HaYershim, there, the inheritors have to give it. And that was necessary to say a chiddush. Why? As we continue to base. Mao de Tamu, what would you say that even if he had a Mada B'din, he had a court case of this vower before he passed away, but Kivan de Loyam Du, since they didn't yet evaluate the subject of the vow, which is that other person, when the one who took the vow was still alive, so I would say, that the assets of the orphans were never yet indebted, because, as we explained, in regards to the darim, the obligation only really starts once the evaluation happens. And when this guy died, they never had yet done the evaluation of the subject of the vow. Kamash Malam, that's admission that to tell us that no. Kim and Damad Bedin, once the court case was established that he has to go ahead and pay the subject's monetary value, so Ishtabudi Ishtabad Nikhse. So really the assets are on, there's a lien on them to pay up that neder. V'umdina, and the actual evaluation is Giluye Milsabam, who is just revealing exactly the quantity of how much is it that he's obligated. But since the subject of the vow is still alive, so then they could go and evaluate him. In the case of the Reisha, when we spoke about it, when he takes the monetary vow himself and he dies, so he's both the one who takes the vow and the subject, he says, well, there's no monetary value for a dead person. But here, even if he dies, the subject is still alive and there is monetary value for him, so therefore the obligation already started by Hamad Bedin, and therefore even if he dies, that's what the Mishnah is being Mechadish, that in this case, when the Chol plainly, that he's going to have to pay, because the actual evaluation is just a Gilu Milsa Ba'alma regarding how much is it that he has to pay, but the obligation started already before, and therefore the Yershin have to pay. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on a related vein regarding this idea we spoke about regarding if the person dies before he has a chance to go ahead and pay, and we describe different differences in Erech and Nadarim himself and others. So similarly, the Mishnah says as follows. Sharza Oila says this ox is going to be brought as a totally burnt sacrifice on the Mizbeach. Or Abayis Zer Karban, this house is a sacrifice, meaning it's going to be brought as a donation to the Bedek Abayis for the treasury of the Beis HaMikdash. But the ox dies, or benafel abayis, where the house collapses before the treasurer gets a chance to collect it. Patam l'shalom, he's exempt from paying. He designated them, and now it's a loss for Hekdesh, but he doesn't have any responsibility. But let's say he says, sherze olai oilam. This ox is upon me to bring as a carbon oilam. Or abayis olai carbon, this house is upon me to bring as a carbon. So meisasher, benafel abayis, if the ox dies or the house collapses, Mechayev l'shalom, he has to pay because he took responsibility. Olai always is a terminology of neder versus says a terminology of an adava. This is it. And if something happens, fine. It's hektish, it's lost. But when he says a lie, he's responsible. Now, however, Amar B'chi Barav, he qualifies and he says, lo yishanu. We didn't learn that when he says a lie, then he's taking responsibility and he has to pay. El da'amar d'mei sher ze olai oili. He's adding another word, essentially. It's where the person says, the monetary value of this ox is upon me to bring as a carbon ayla. Where then, if the ox gets lost, fine, the ox is lost, but the money isn't lost, because he didn't say these monies, which, because there's no money here, it was the ox. The monetary value of this ox is upon me. Well, that's always there in concept, so therefore then he's going to be obligated to pay, even if, let's say, gets lost. Aval amar shor ze olai ayla, but if he says, like the words that the Mishnah said, if he says, this ox is upon me as a ayla, no. Kivin the Amr Zeh Omeis, since ultimately he says, this ox is upon me and the ox dies, say in the Chayav, Bechri Yusay, then he's not actually responsible for insuring it. Why? Because although he said the word Alai on me, that was just La Viyakamer. That just meant that he's going to put in the effort to bring it and he's going to bring it all the way to the Beis HaMikdash, to Hekdash. But it didn't mean as responsibility, because then why did he say Zeh? Zeh means just this. If something happens to it, fine, I'm done. So why Alai? Alai is just, I'll bring this there. When are we saying that he's going to be chayav l'shalom? This can be if he says demei, the monetary value. That's not here. That is a concept. And that he's obligating himself. And therefore, even if this one gets lost, he's going to have to compensate Hekdesh for that value. However, Meisvi, the Gemara Esther, Nebuchir Barab's teaching from the following Braisa. Braisa says, Shor ze oila, seemingly the two cases of our Mishnah. This ox is a oila, so hashor Hekdesh. So the Hashar is already sanctified because it's saying he's making it a carbon ayla. Or ma'ilim boy, someone has benefit from it, he's committed the sin of misappropriation. Mesa nignev, if it dies or it gets stolen, so in the Chai Becher, he's not responsible for insuring it because this is Hekdesh, I'm not taking responsibility. He said ze. Let's say he says, Shur ze olai oyla, this ox is upon me. He used the word olai as a oyla. So then Hashar Hekdesh, the ox is sanctified because he's making it an oyla. Or ma'ilim boy, there's the laws of misappropriation. And Mesa Nignim, if it dies or gets stolen, Chayav Bachayusi, he's responsible for insuring. So you see that even if you say Shur Ze Olai Oila without Dmei, Nalik B'chi Barav, that you are Chayav Bachrais. So says the Gemara, Mea Limim Mesnitin, is that any better than our Mishnah? Dokimna, the Kama Dmei, B'chi Barav qualified, and he says, our Mishnah used the same words also of Shur Ze Olai Oila. But he said it doesn't mean just saying this ox, it's the Dmei of this Shur is on me. So Achanami, the Kama Dmei, here also in the Braisa, it's where he said, it's monetary value, and actually as the Gemara is going to shortly later on clarify a little bit more, the actual case that we're discussing over here in the Braisa is, and he says, this ox should be sanctified for its monies, and those monies is a lie, oila, is to bring from those monies a carbon oila. So therefore, you could gain two different ideas. Which is, yes, the ox itself becomes sanctified because he says, this ox will be sanctified for its monies. So therefore, if it dies, he's going to be responsible for insurance. Why? Because he said a lie. Now, as Rashi addresses, that this is different than what we said before. What do you mean, a lie? Who cares? A lie just means a lie lahavioi. I'm just going to bring it. Where do you see that it means insurance? Because over there, he said zeh. So when he's saying zeh, that's to exempt himself from responsibility. So why is saying a lie? A lie is putting in the effort. But over here, where the monies are not here, he can't say, these is what I'm referring to. It's not like zeh. Most definitely, if he's saying a lie, he's taking insurance, he's taking responsibility. But ultimately, what do you mean? In this case, he did say zeh. Why did he say zeh? Zeh here means something else. It means this ox will be sanctified until I sell it and I bring money from it. But a lie is taking responsibility, taking insurance. So therefore, you could have both halachas. You could have that the shor is hekdesh. However, if it gets lost, he's going to be chayav b'achrayis because it's not just this ox. It's the ox is sanctified for when it's going to be sold. And then that's the responsibility he's taking with the word a lie. But essentially, the Gemara's answer is answering the basic idea that there's no difficulty from the Braisa. So the Braisa is told about when you have demei, just like we explained the Mishnah qualified with Dmei. Now, but the Gemara asks, but how could you say that? But I mean, the Sefer, the Kama Dmei, from the fact that the Sefer, the Braisa, is referring to halacha of its monetary value, which has a different halacha. Obviously, Reisha Deloy Kama Dmei. Obviously, the Reisha was saying a different halacha is not talking about the monetary value, because the Tani Sefer. Learn at the end of that Braisa, it says as follows. Someone says, Dmei Shar Oila, the monetary value of this ox will be a Karban Oila. So here, the halacha is different. So obviously, here's monetary value, not in the case we just described, because the Braisa says, what's the halacha over here? So Hashar Chulin, the ox is actually unconsecrated because he didn't sanctify the ox itself. He said the monetary value of the ox, which is when he'll sell it, the proceeds, that money will be used to buy a carbon oil, but the ox itself is chulin. And therefore, ve'in mo'ilim bayis, so therefore there's no law of misappropriation. Now, meis einigniv, if it dies or if it gets stolen, in the chayav becher yusay, he's not going to be responsible for this ox because the ox wasn't sold, so it comes out nothing was ever sanctified, because the only thing that was sanctified was when it's going to be sold, those proceeds are going to be brought as a carbon oila. But when there's no proceeds, if it died before that, so then that was just a regular chulin animal. But in this case, he would be liable for insuring its monetary value, meaning if the ox was sold, so then we said, so the monetary, then monies are sanctified, and then if those monies get lost, then he's going to be responsible for insuring that, to bring that to Hekdash. But one thing we see is that this is the case of when the ox had monetary sanctity, which has a whole different halacha than the previous one. Obviously, it's not damim. So then it's back to the question on Reb Chiya Barav, that you see that it's the halacha is going to be different in the case that he described, that even if you didn't say demei, it's still going to be chayav l'shalom. Says the Gemara, no, reisha is sefer dekama demei. Both the reisha that we described before in this case of the sefer, are talking about the monetary value of the ox. But it's a little bit different how he's quantifying the monetary value. And this is what we alluded to before, how we're going to explain this case of the Reisha. Reisha da Amma Yakdish Hashar L'damav. The Reisha is talking about, where he says, let this ox be sanctified for its monies. So therefore, he's Chayv Bachrayis, he's responsible for ensuring it, because there is a sanctity of money that takes effect on this ox. And he's taking responsibility for the insurance of that monetary value. So when he says, a lie, that's taking Achrayis. Because that's going on the monetary value of this ox. Now, moreover, why can't you say, like we said, oh, a lie is just saying, I'm going to bring it? Because there's nothing really here. There's no monies to say that, oh, it's only this, and whatever happens to this, I'm done. No, there's no monies. It's the monetary value of that, which is a concept, and that he's taking responsibility when he's saying a lie. But the seifa, the kamar, the kashayave dam of yikdashu. The seifa is different. Seifa is not that he's taking right now, saying this monetary value has Kedusha's oila right now. He's saying that when there's going to be proceeds of money from this ox, then it's going to be sanctified. That's why in that case, he's not Chayav Bachrayis. Because when the ox dies, there was never any proceeds from it. Comes out, he never sanctified anything. So therefore, that's the reason for the differences in halacha. But yeah, both of them are talking about monetary sanctity. And therefore, that's exactly how Reb Chiya Barav qualified the halacha of Mishnah. When you chayav l'shalom, when you chayav bachrayis, in the case of shor zeh olai oila, is only when you said demei shor zeh olai oila. But if you only said shor zeh olai oila, so then zeh is saying this, and olai is just saying I'm going to bring it, but not taking achrayis. Achrayis is only when it's a damim. Damim is something that it's even if the animal gets lost, the damim is still there in the world, the concept, and therefore that is going to be chayav bachrayis. But the Gemara asks, explanation of this halacha of the Seifim, that you're saying that he's not even sanctifying anything right now, and therefore he's not Chayav Bachrayis, but it's the proceeds that's going to come, then that's going to be sanctified. How is that going to be Hekdish? But v'ho ein od demakdish tov v'shalei b'loilim, a person cannot sanctify something that's not yet extant here in the world. And here you're saying that it's going to be sanctified when it will be sold in a week or three or a year or whatever it is from now. So on that says Amar Yehuda Rav, he says, not difficult, Hamani, who's the town of this price, it's Remeir, he. Domar, he says, yes, Adam Makdash, Tavash Lebelon, a person could sanctify something that has not yet come into the world, as we learn in the Brisa elsewhere. If someone says to a woman that you're engaged to me after I convert to Judaism, or after you convert, Remeir says that she's engaged. What do you mean? But that's somebody, he's not even a Jew yet. Still, you could be Makdash, Tavash Lebelon. Now, Igadam, those say it's slightly different, that Amalei Rav Papa L'Abaya, Bamilon, some say it was Rami Bar Chama, said to L'Rav Chizda, come on, so then who's this Brisa like? Is it Kremeir? The Amma Adam Makdash Dovish Labalam, the person can sanctify somebody that didn't come to the world? That Amalei said to him, Vela Kaman, then whom else? Like, obviously it's going like Kremeir, because it's a Dovish Labalam, and still we're finding that it's being sanctified. Now, the Gemara says, Vigidamasti Law, there are those who actually teach this second version, the way we're saying it, that with Rabbi Yehuda and Abaye and Rami Bachama, that it was like, so who's this like? Remeir? And he says, well, who else? There was actually going aha on the following of Brisa. Different halacha, but it was the same response. Hamaske Bais Lechaveira. Someone leases a house to his friend. In this Nagei, and that house developed a nega of tzaras. So says the Brisa, Av Bishachal Tekain, even if the Kain confirms and he says, look, this house is tummy, and we're going to have to smash this house because it has a nega. So says the Brisa, however, as long as it wasn't smashed, so Oimaloi, so the owner could tell the renter, Harishal Chalaf Necha, what's yours is in front of you. I'm not leasing you another house because the house that I leased you is still around. But Nitzitzu, but if the Kain actually goes and he smashes it, then Chayiv, then the owner is obligated, L'hamalei Bayis, to go ahead and provide another house for the renter, because the fact that the house was smashed was because of the poor mazel of the owner, because obviously he suspects regarding theft, or regarding being stingy, as we taught in the previous price, so that's why the Negoim come. So then it's his responsibility to provide a new house for the renter. Now, continues the price on the top of a Chafal from an Alf, Hikdisha Hadarboy, if the one who lives in the house sanctified the apartment to Hekdish, so he doesn't own the apartment, so Malas Schar LeHekdish, but the amount of rent that he pays, he gives that now to Hekdish. Well, that the Gemara wonders, it thinks that it's like the way we just read it, that the one who's living there is sanctifying the apartment. Hekdisha Hadarboy, the one who's the renter, he's sanctifying the apartment to Hekdish? Hechematzim Hekdish, how could he sanctify the apartment? But Ish Ki Yakdish, basically Kodesh Am Rechman, the Torah says a man will sanctify his house, then it gets sanctified to Hekdish. But that tells you, Ma Beisha Beshusa, just like his house is in his property, it's in his domain, he owns it. Av Kol Beshusa, you can only sanctify something that you own. He's the renter, he doesn't own it. How is he sanctifying it to Hekdish? Says Gemara, no, you're right. This is what the Bryce was saying. Hekdishay Maskir, you have to read a comma. Hekdishay, who? The owner. If he sanctifies the apartment, then Hadarbay Malas Schar LeHekdish. Then the one who living there, now the apartment is owned by Hekdish, because the owner sanctified it, he goes and he pays the rent to Hekdish. I don't think we're one this Hekdisha Maskir. You're telling me that the owner is the one who was Makdishit? Then Hekhadayabay. Then how is the renter living in there? Vimeilokai, he's committing misappropriation. It's owned by Hekdish. You can't have benefit. Something in Hekdish. Vesu, moreover, how do you understand then the halacha? Saying Malas Schar LeHekdish. Okay, so he pays the rent to the current owner, which is Hekdish. But Kivin the Malbe, the moment that he continues living over there, he's benefiting from the apartment of Hekdish, he's committed misappropriation. Nafeg le'schar l'chulin, now the payment has gone out and become unconsecrated. Which Rashi says not to have the girsa of schar, because not going on the rent money, rather it's going, you should read it, that once he committed me'ila, nafeg le', taking out the word schar, nafeg le' l'chulin, meaning once he benefited from the utility of the house, he misappropriated on the apartment. Now the apartment becomes unconsecrated. As the Mishnah teaches in Masechta Me'ilah Daf Yud Tesem Beis, that there's no Me'ilah after Me'ilah by things that are sanctified besides the animal and Kli Sharis, where the halacha is that once you misappropriate, you're obligated in the principal and the fifth. But you're not paying your rent to Hekdish, because anything that's Hekdish, the moment you have Me'ilah, it's not any more sanctified. It becomes Chulin. As the Gemara says in Me'ilah Daf Yud Tesem and Aleph, that the word Me'ilah itself, what it actually means, it means a deviation, which, like we find, v'yimalu b'nei Yisrael me'al ma'al b'ashem v'yavdu sabba'olim, which is that they changed. They left Hekdish and it became Chayil, where they left Hashem and then we went to Avodah Zarah. So that's what Me'ilah actually means. So what are you paying rent to Hekdish? First of all, you're not allowed to live there because Me'ilah. And once you live there, you actually, it's not even Hekdish anymore. So you wouldn't be paying to Hekdish. So the Gemara, no, the case is Tumah where the owner said, l'kashayavei schara yakdish. When the rent money will come in, that rent money is Kodesh. You're right, he never sanctified the apartment. He sanctified the proceeds of the apartment. That money's, he's saying, that rent money is going to go to Hekdesh. So okay, so there's no Me'ilah, and yeah, the rent money is going to go to Hekdesh. On that, the Gemara asked, but for Ein Odem Hekdesh Davar Shlo B'Loilam, but a person cannot sanctify somebody that didn't come to the world yet, how is he sanctifying the rent money that will come at the end of the month? That I'm reading the Marav. He says, "Hamani, who's the town of the Bryce?" Says Remeir. He the Amma Adam Makdash Tavish Lebelayim. He says a person who's sanctified. Somebody that didn't come to the world yet. And that Ikedami, like we said in the previous version, that those that say that it was different, there was Amalei or Pabla Baya, Ramila, and some say it was Rav Mori Bar Chamal or Rav Chizda. Says, "Come on, so who's the town of this Bryce like? Is it Remeir? The Amma Adam Makdash Tavish Lebelayim. The person who's sanctified. Somebody didn't come to the world yet. And that Amalei. And then he said to him, "Vel, come on, who else could it be? Like, obviously going like Remeir. Again, both of these halachas." Which are different halachas, but they're both coming down to the same concept. It must be like your mayor, that a person can sanctify somebody that didn't even yet come to the world.